Good afternoon, and thank you so much for sharing your time with us here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I am Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I am your host of Art Speak, and thank you for making us a priority this afternoon. Well, I should say all day. And, it's always good to be here with you. I'd like to let you know that today we have a full program. We've got Celia Roos and Diane Burkholder, along with Isaac Tapia, and then we have in the second half, we have Ashley Lindman, Megan Donahue, and Merritt Miller. It's a special program. Well, every program special. We're going to talk to all of our guests today about their upcoming events and projects that are currently underway. I want to mention that you can tune in, listen to us online at kkfi.org if you are not in your car or home radio. But let's get started. I want to say hello to Celia Roos and Diane Burkholder and Isaac Tapia. Celia and Diane are with the One Struggle KC Engaging Art / Una Lucha KC Arte Atractivo, and artist Isaac, who is also... Artist Isaac Tapia, who is also joining here live in the studio. One Struggle KC is it works to empower, unite, and educate oppressed groups and communities within the KC metro area through art. They were recently awarded a 2015-2016 Rocket Grant, which will enable One Struggle KC, Una Lucha KC, to serve marginalized communities within their own neighborhoods. Now, by utilizing less stigmatizing settings to address mental health concerns, they will be able to reach families most affected by trauma. They will also partner with other organizations to capture the attention of people of color who are often unaware of the transformative nature of art. Now, in this segment, I'm essentially going to act, I guess, as somewhat of a moderator or facilitator as they open up the discussion and the dialogue between one another and between artist Isaac Tapia. So, welcome, Celia. Welcome, Diane and Isaac.
Thank you very much for having us.
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, let's talk about your organization. What is it about, and who are you the members in One Struggle KC?
Hi, this is Diane Burkholder speaking. I'm a co-founder of One Struggle KC. Myself and four other activists sat around last October 2014, actually, after the events taking place in Ferguson, after the weekend of resistance. A lot of us had gone back and forth to Ferguson and really started to have a conversation of what does this conversation look like here in Kansas City? Mm-hmm. What are the needs here in Kansas City? Many of the conversations that were going on was, it's Baltimore. It's Ferguson, it's way over there, and then later on it's Baltimore. And we have these very same issues here, talking about racial profiling, also having to do with police murders of our citizens. But then also, where is the outlet that we can come together and bring together community and really
begin
have a space
to heal
for people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and to begin to
mm-hmm.
heal. And so through that, we formed, like I said, last October. And from there, Una Lucha, our sister organization, really did a lot of work. And I'll let Celia talk about that and Isaac talk about that. Particularly in solidarity with the missing students at Ayotzinapa.
Yeah, definitely. So, and it was right in that same time. Mm-hmm. So, in September of 2014, I feel like years are just going by really fast, but yeah, September 2014, there were 43 students that went missing in southern Mexico. In the city of Iguala, but the students were from Ayotzinapa. And so then, in having conversations with actually Diane and some other co-founders, talking about the state-sponsored violence and the similarities that we have in both communities, it literally came down to where we said, no, seriously, this is happening mm-hmm. in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this happened out in St. Louis and Ferguson. Well, this happened down here, and this happened, and everything kept connecting back to it. So actually, Una Lucha KC is a literal Spanish translation of One Struggle, because our communities do share those same struggles. In speaking with a lot of our Spanish-speaking immigrant communities, as we were doing all of the Ayotzinapa education, we were talking about it's the same system. You know, they may be the same judges, they may be the same police force, they may be the same authorities, you know, that are affecting both of our, you know, communities of color. And so then, and I think, you know, bringing in the art piece to this, I think is just the perfect way to talk about it now, is then, you know, our beginning, you know, protests, demonstrations, actions, whatever words you want to use out there, but us being out in the streets, you know, first thing we were doing, we were making signs. So I think the first thing that we had in our non-existent budget was markers. Markers and poster board, and then, you know, artists started coming out and we started creating. I think it was really cool in one, I think one of our first sessions where we were putting together our art pieces for one of our protests, there was a gentleman that's easily, you know, 40 years old, you know, father of three, out from Olathe, and there he was making signs with his two kids out in Northeast Kansas City, and everyone else from One Struggle showed up, and they're helping us create these cool signs.
Yeah, it's a real grassroots organization that took place, and then people have became interested, and you've kind of gathered them up in the organization, right?
Yes, yes. I think, you know, I think one of the beautiful things about this work, it definitely has been, you know, a struggle of love. I think all of the work that we do definitely comes from a place of love, but it's really been building and building and building, and I think it's just amazing, you know, the way in which people have come out and said, you know, we need a space. We need a space to connect, to heal, to be angry. We need a space to talk. We need a space to be our authentic selves. We're told so many times we have to act a certain way, and, you know, we have to present a certain way, and we just want to create a space where people can be, show up as they are, and to connect to one another. And I think that's one of the really, you know, things I've been honored to do this work here in Kansas City.
Now, so why is it important to have a space for people and artists of color? I'm just curious.
My name is Isaac Tapia, and I feel like it's important really to have a space, basically because you don't really see a lot of Hispanic or Black artists out there showing their artwork. If you go to the crossroads, you don't see that much. And for me, particularly in the Hispanic side, I rarely see that. There's only one gallery there. I forgot it. It's the Square Gallery, something like that. Mm-hmm. I forgot the actual name of it. That's actually owned by a Latino owner.
Yeah, and it's defunct. Yeah, I mean, it's no longer there. As far as I understand.
Wow.
Well, there comes a need.
Yep.
There's a need.
Yeah. So, I actually started here around November of last year. Mm-hmm. No, around November, like 2 years ago.
2014.
And that's when I started actually making signs just like everybody else. My first sign was actually joining Ayotzinapa and Ferguson together, which was in the first healing that we had. And it's been mostly, for me, it's mostly being about joining both of the conflicts together through my artwork.
And don't you think, making people aware of, you know, the conflict that exists? Because unless you really are in the know, you don't know. I mean, you just think that everything's just going along just fine. So it's important to have that.
Well, and, you know, having that, you know, that own space, I think, is one of the first steps that needs to happen. Because if I want to draw something, paint something about Ayotzinapa, that means I also have to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so then, and if I say Ayotzinapa, ni iguala Guerrero, and blah, 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 in Spanish accents. Okay, so that means I have to do more explaining to you.
Yeah.
And so then what happens if I can just create art? If Isaac can just create art and say, breathe, this is it, this is what I need to say. And so then when you're in a community of color and you are sharing these same issues or challenges and, you know, even moments of growth, when you can start off at a safe starting point where people say, I get you. Then you get into the art. You know, but then sometimes our communities of color just, you know, brought into, you know, probably another conversation, you know, but just to share something, you know, once a month. And so then there's so much that we need to say. And so then we need that consistency. You know, we need a, you know, again, that starting point where we can feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Finding your community. Yeah. So you all came together in the fall of 2014 and had the signs going up. And out of the gathering of you all together, what were some of the themes that came up? What were some of the topics that were discussed?
We were founded October 20th, and on the 22nd was our first action at the Bluford Library, and it was a solidarity action. And 48-hour notice, I think we had like 40 people out there, and it was English and Spanish, really talking about, like Sadio was talking about, connecting the dots of state-sponsored violence between particularly what was happening in Ferguson, but was happening here locally. We've had a lot of people, 47 people KCPD has killed in the last 10 years with no indictment. That report actually just came out a few weeks ago, and really talking about we are all in pain, but also we can do this together. I think so many times the narrative in the media and even within our own communities is that, you know, we don't get along and we have so many things in common. At the end of the day, we're fighting the same fight. We all just want to be free, be happy, support our mm-hmm. families, and just really be able to come together. I think that's was a really kind of big moment, obviously with our first action, but then after that, we just kept doing action after action. But then we also had a community forum mm-hmm. right after the non-indictment of Darren Wilson. And actually, I met Isaac when we were at the, we had, these things come up really quickly, and we mm-hmm. had non-indictment, and we're like, where do we go? And so we went to the Plaza Fountain, and that's where we met. And he started telling me, hey, I've been creating. I just need mm-hmm. space to get this out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, let's chat. You know, come on out. And here's our healing events coming up. So.
And that's actually the when we actually met, and then another member of the Una Lucha KC was there, and she was the one that also told me about what was going on, and so after that I decided I want to do this. I want to be a part of this. I want to be able to show my artwork. There's so many artists out there that are not able to do this. I actually had one time that I had a piece of mine that was actually about Ferguson and about Ayotzinapa that was not accepted into a gallery simply because it was because of that. Because of what the theme of
censorship?
This...
Censorship? Are we talking censorship?
Yes.
Wow.
So it was not accepted, and I was like, wow, I can't display my artwork of how I feel in this particular place. Yeah. So... this was really something that helped me out, displaying some of the artwork that I actually wanted to show.
Beautiful. Wow. You know, you mentioned healing events, and could you explain what those are, what takes place, and who attends healing events?
Yeah, last year we were invited to participate. Ned Raban, who's a local textile artist, local quilter, very political, says what's on her mind, helped put together a series of events in December. She received a rocket grant the year prior, and it was a craft care and justice hub. And so at Project Space downtown, they invited a lot of organizations to have some space. And so we had two of those dates. And it was really organic. It came together in probably about 3 weeks time, and we really just created a space for artists of color to come in and to share how they had been processing and dealing with everything, particularly the last few months. And so the artists that we had featured then was Nedra, Bond's textile artist, Jose Faust, who's a local spoken word artist, a visual artist, Rob Love, spoken word artist. We also had Kristen Topp, who's a spoken word artist. Celia is also a visual artist as well. Isaac Storm, who is a local MC. Les Ismore, who is with Hearts of Darkness and Heartfelt Anarchy, Enrique Chi of Making Movies, and Aaron Bopp, just a DJ, part of Heart of Darkness. And those were our featured artists. And so the first half was them either sharing their piece or talking about their pieces. And then the second half was open to community. And so whether people wanted to share verbally, you know, I had some friends that are like, I've been so shut out, I've been watching, you know, cat videos, right? Like, they have tuned out. They didn't even have a space where they could even talk about it. And I think just to have people in the same room, whether you chose to participate or not, was huge. And then the last piece was, you know, Aaron was playing revolutionary protest tracks in the background. And then we had butcher paper up on the wall and canvas and journals, and people were creating art. And so we did 2 days of that, two evenings of that. We had probably 60, 70 people at each one. And then we were invited to apply for our own rocket grant. Mm-hmm. And so we did, and thankfully we got it. And so we're going to be doing 4 more of those throughout the year. Also, we're going to be doing some coloring books as well.
Yeah, let's talk about what the rocket grant will do for you, what sort of the proposed projects are, if you would.
Yeah, so we have 4 coloring books.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 2 Black Lives Matters books that are, everything is in their final stages right now as far as the coloring books, but, you know, some last editing, but we've had local artists, poets, written word contributing to the Black Lives Matter books.
Mm-hmm.
There's an adult version, and then there's also a children's version. There's also an Ayotzinapa coloring book where we also had, again, some local artists participate and collaborate with some artwork. And we narrate the story as far as what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So those 3 books are being completed. We have 1/4 book where it's going to be an activity book that talks about the consequences of assimilation in our immigrant communities and, you know, how important it is for our families and our children to reconnect with our native communities. Because that ties back to the picture of Ayotzinapa, and there is foreign policy that is involved, and, you know, we need our families to be involved. So there's the 4 books
mm-hmm.
That are being that we'll provide, and then there will be 4 healing, art healing sessions
mm-hmm.
that will cover both the Kansas and the Missouri side in the metro area.
And that's sort of a work in progress in terms of the location and time and that, right?
Yeah, we do have all of our dates set, though.
Mm-hmm.
One of the requirements of the Rocket Grant, which is a really great thing, and I'm glad that it's a part of the requirement, is that this art or whatever you're doing to participate cannot be in traditional art spaces because that is limiting, particularly to communities of color, low-income folks, you know, even demystifying what art is. We are all creative people and just giving space to do that. So our dates are February 27th. It's going to be on the KCK side. March 20th, and that's going to be our book launch. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to invite the artists to come and speak about how they got involved with the project, have our launch of our coloring books, and also create space for people to have their own art. March 25th is going to be in KCMO. That's going to be a music-based event that is going to particularly highlight some of our local musicians, but really to uplift and give space to musicians that might not necessarily be known, and particularly young artists. I think that's really good. So it's going to be all of our events are very intergenerational and very family-friendly. April 30th, we have confirmed that space. That's going to be at the Northeast Library, and they are do some programming every year at that date. And I'm going to let Celia talk a little bit about the significance of the April 30th event.
Yeah, so April 30th is celebrated in Latin American countries as the Day of the Child, or Dia del Niño. So that in conjunction with is the Day of the Book?
International Book Day.
Yeah, International Book Day, yes. So we'll be combining between you know, those 2 initiatives on April 30th out in Northeast Kansas City. For us, it's really important that we continue to stress you know, how connected our communities of color, specifically Black and Brown. And so then for this April 30th, it's a perfect opportunity for maybe our African American young community, if they're not aware of this date, how we can share this pretty cool date with them.
You know, as we continue talking about the projects and all, please share with our listeners your website or contact information, because if there's someone who's interested in joining or wants to see some upcoming events, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, all of our events will be posted. We have our website is onestrugglekc.wordpress.com, and that links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram. All of our information is there. Our healing events themselves will be Facebook events. Like I said, they were February 27th, March 25th, April 30th, and the 4th one is going to be May 22nd. It's going to be a field day, so outdoor playing with kids. That's going to be in KCK as well. Our email address is onestrugglekc@riseup.net. Like I said, we're most active on Facebook, but you can view our Facebook page even if you don't have Facebook, but everything links back to our website. And then the Una Lucha contact information is?
Yeah, I know that this will be a lot of information, so I know that we'll also jump online and share this with you as well. But you can also find Una Lucha KC, and it's UNALUCHA. It sounds pretty clear, but Una Lucha KC on Facebook, and then it's also, I believe it's unaluchakc.wordpress.com as well.
You know, I'm going to go back to your questionnaire here and ask you, what outcomes have you seen as a result of your work last year?
Well,
mostly. And Isaac on the spot. So I was like, we met you, and I've been involved. And
well, from the beginning that they started, actually, when I got involved, I started seeing a lot of things going on, basically involving more artists, whether they were poets, visual artists, and other performing artists. And since then, the events that have happened and the things that are going on right now that I know that I'm not supposed to be sharing right now.
We'll edit that out. No.
There's a lot of cool things going on. Yeah. And I feel like the more people get involved in this, the more this is going to get out there and the more people are going to get informed about what's really going on. Whether it's in Mexico, whether it's here, I feel like joining this movement is going to help you inform yourself about a lot of things. And it's very helpful, and it's absolutely, you need it. Because if you're not informed, then you're kind of lost.
Yeah, I mean, you should be informed. You should feel outraged. You should feel passionate. You should feel all of the emotions that you do, and in terms of, you know, the battle against oppression and imbalance and all that. But this is a creative way, a creative opportunity for the community members to come together and solve some issues and come together and talk. Would you say?
Yeah, well, and I think, kind of thinking back, I used to work a little bit like in the education system, but, everyone always, has always said, that we express ourselves differently. Right. Now, you can't expect a sixth grader, to write out, maybe what someone else will draw. You know, you can't expect someone to speak something that maybe someone is sharing in a private journal. So then I think, one, becoming involved doesn't have to look the same way for everyone. It doesn't have to be a direct action. It doesn't have to be protesting. You know, maybe some people feel uncomfortable writing, their legislator, but then maybe someone else, does have the ability to draw, paint an amazing picture. And that artist has nothing. But us as a community, we do learn, and we grow and we share that experience. So I think it's really important to share that there are different ways to become involved. And art organically became a part of this movement, continues to be a part of this movement, and it just keeps growing. I think one of the other outcomes that we've also seen is that, we had a meetup with our artist that we had in our coloring books. And as we're sitting there and we think we may know a little bit about the artists that are participating in these projects, we find out that there's, like, totally awesome people out there doing things that we would have never expected. The graphic designing, I don't know if we can say names or anything, but it was, totally awesome. It was a magazine called Courage. And so then it's, I want to say this last, last episode, edition, was for, black males, showcasing the positive things that black males are doing here in Kansas City. And it's professionally done and we're touching it. We kind of wanted to stop our meeting because it was so cool. And then like this is who we have at our table. I think until we give an opportunity to really hear and speak and learn from our artists, we are learning, as Isaac mentioned it. And, it's not just learning the content. It's learning techniques. It's learning, about the person, about life. It is very cool.
Beautiful.
I think, too, that meeting was beautiful. I walked away, and I was like, and we're done. It was just so inspiring, I think, to have the artists to be able to build with one another, and that's one of the challenges in Kansas City. We are so segregated. We don't have those spaces for artists of color. I go, to the Plaza for Art Fair and the Unplaza Art Fair, and I was like, where are the people of color? Oh, there's great. And so really just to be able to build, like, if we don't have space, we have to create our own spaces. We can't wait for people to do it for us. It is our job to create that space in something that is authentic and works for us. We don't need handouts during, Hispanic Heritage Month and Black History Month. Like, we need to do this all the time, and I think it's just continuing to build.
And we can do it. Yeah. I mean, we really can. Out at the Un Plaza Art Fair, and I think, you know, Diane had said, there are no people of color, you know, say that where you at, and, you know, here's the application, and I went ahead and did it. And so then I had a piece there that, it did sell. It was, you know, based on Ayotzinapa, and there was a young Latina woman that said, I have no idea what that is. I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but I want to learn more. We talked about it, shared the story, and I thought it was just, again, very cool. I think there's no other word for that, because we are a segregated community, even within our Latino or Black communities.
Yeah. You know, we only have a few more minutes here. Let's mention the contact information, if we could, for the organizations.
Yeah, I think probably the easiest way, if you're on Facebook, you can look up One Struggle KC. You can look up Una Lucha KC. And even if you do any kind of Google searching, you know, One Struggle KC, Una Lucha KC, yeah. WordPress.com, you'll find those pages.
Final words?
Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity. I think this is just, I mean, if I imagined a year and a half ago that we would be sitting here in building. When I went to Kansas City 5 years ago, you know, one of my biggest draws to coming here was the art community. And then, I had a hard time finding people. And through this work and through the work we've been doing, just to be able to meet so many amazing people, it's been able to build. And then also we've been able to name the trauma that we are living with all day. Every day. We have to be able to name that, and I think this has been a way to make people make it accessible for people to talk about that, or just to be in the space to share. And through that trauma, through talking about trauma, we're able to heal. We always talk about resiliency. Yeah, we're resilient communities, but we have a lot of pain we have to deal with, and what are ways that we can do that, and, you know, beyond just, you know, inaccessible, you know, going to a mental health therapist, which is great, but like, what are some things we can do every day, little baby things that we can do that build up to make us feel better and more connected and to validate our feelings?
Beautiful.
And actually, I do want to encourage the artists that are out there that want to participate in this to join. Like we said, it's One Struggle KC or Una Lucha KC. Just look it up. If you want to participate with this, you're more than welcome to.
Yes, we are going to be looking for artists for all these events. So if you or yourself or know anyone else, visual performing arts, let us know. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I think just a little tidbit I want to add is that, you know, I don't think I started sharing my art until I was kind of asked. You know, if I'm not asked and I have, you know, paintings hanging all over my room and they're there. So you don't have to be maybe what someone else would say. Are you an established artist? Where have you shown? You know, where did you go? If you're an artist and listening to this, you know, whether it's this project or somewhere else that you're, you know, planning on participating with, you are an artist because you say you're an artist. You know, taking that extra step to show it, that'll take a ton of courage, but if you're surrounded by people that welcome you, it makes it so much easier.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Celia Reese, Diane Burkholder, Isaac Tapia. Thank you so much for coming on to the radio, and it sounds like a much bigger discussion than the 30 minutes that we can, you know, get everything covered here, but you'll be back.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Very good. We'll be right back after this. This is Maria Moscas Boyd, and I'm the host and producer of ArtSpeak Radio. Thank you for tuning in with us, making KKFI a priority. Our next guests are in the studio, and they're, as I grab my bios, we've got Ashley Lindemann, Megan Donahoe, and Marette Miller. I think I pronounced your names wrong. Did I pronounce that right?
Well, you were close.
Dohan. Okay, Dohan, you said that. Okay, Ashley is the president of the Graduate Art History Association, or GAHA, GAHA, as it is known by its acronym, and Megan is the treasurer, and we also have artist Marette here. So they're going to talk about the Graduate Art History Association, which is a student group under the Art and Art History Department that dedicates dedicates itself to fostering professional development in art scholarship. They work with local museums, galleries, and educational institutions to enable students to enter into a dialogue with established art professionals. So they're going to talk about their second exhibition, a group exhibition that they've curated for the UMKC Gallery of Art, and that opens actually tomorrow. So welcome, everybody, and thank you for coming on to the program. So let's start with Ashley.
Sure.
And tell us about the group show that's opening tomorrow at UMKC.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having us, Maria. I'm really excited to be here. So our exhibition is titled Body Mind Entente, and it features 16 artists. Most of them are local, and we have a couple who are outside of the Midwest, or I guess one is from St. Louis, one is from New York City. And this exhibition really focuses on the relationship between the body and mind. We dealt with artists who are working with perception, cognition, consciousness, and spirituality, and how all of those kind of envelope the human experience. This show has been a really good experience for all of us, as we have been able to work on our grant writing skills, mm-hmm. Our curating skills, all sorts of things. We've learned every aspect of building an exhibition from the ground up. So we're ready to be real curators now.
Wow. So is this a fairly new organization that came together?
I think it's been around for a few years, at least 5 years. But this is only the second attempt at an exhibition.
And some of the artists that are featured in this show are J.J. Allen, Emily Connell, Sarah Beth Dutton, Diana Heiss, Robert Hauser,
mm-hmm.
Nini Humphrey, Marette Miller, Molly Murphy, Jody Leitner, Amber Steen, Miles Nettinger, Patricia Olnick, Ann Austin Pierce, Jim Sajovic, Jamie Bates Sloan, Hong Chung Zheng,
mm-hmm.
And again, that's at the UMKC Gallery of Art. So, you know, I think it's really important to have an organization such as this to begin to develop some skills. What have you learned in the time since?
We would definitely say it was a really neat opportunity to kind of go in there and muscle up and really understand what it's like to not only come up with a concept for an exhibition, but then how do you take that to the next step? The concept's great, but the execution of the idea is really what we're learning to do as graduate students, and to take that to the next level and be able to meet with artists and talk about their work and see how that fit in terms of our concept. Then also choosing the pieces, figuring out all the logistics of transport, all of the fun things that you learn as you go. I think that's been most impactful, probably.
You know, and it's really interesting because, you know, when a person goes into a gallery and they see works up on the wall or in a space, maybe something that you don't really consider what you just spoke of.
That's
you
very
know,
fair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you pull this group show together?
Well, we've had a really great support system, for one thing. Our graduate advisor, Dr. Christina Elbu, is one of the faculty members at UMKC. She's an art historian. And then there's also Davin Watney, who's the director of the UMKC Gallery of Art. So he helped more with the logistics of everything. And then Dr. Elbu really helped us hone our concept. And that was... we couldn't have done it without them. So that's kind of where we started off.
It was a group idea. We have meetings every month mm-hmm. where we, as graduate students, it's open to all the art history, really undergrad and grad, but we decided that it was something we were interested in, an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, you brainstorm, well, what makes sense for us? What exhibition would be relatable to what we're doing and what are we interested in? So once we got there, you know, we took that and took a vote, and it kind of, I would say, spiraled from there.
Mm-hmm. You know, and with the theme, the mind, body, entente, right? It explores the relationship between body and mind, perception and cognition, consciousness and spirituality. And it also looks into biological and cultural factors that shape the existence, our existence, enabling us to develop singular identities while simultaneously sharing many features and modes of behavior with others. Now, with that as the concept, as the theme, I think... It allows for a lot more sort of out of the box or different sorts of interpretations from artists. Was that helpful for you to come up with a theme that was pretty broad in terms of, you know, how the artist will interpret it?
Yeah, absolutely. We have different artists took this concept in different ways, or mm-hmm. I guess we found artists who kind of fit under the umbrella of our concept. Mm-hmm. So some of them deal more overtly with the physical body and like how that kind of relates to the mind, and then others are, you know, speak about perception and how we see things, like synesthesia, things like that, mm-hmm. how our brain works. Some of them are more scientific than others, but putting them together in one exhibition kind of makes you think about how all of those things are related.
Yeah.
And it kind of, you know, brings you into a realization that the body and mind are not that different in how they work.
And how did you approach the work, Marit?
So Ashley approached me to be in the show. She saw my work on my website, and I was really honored to be a part of that. And the way that my work deals with the body and the mind is that I understand that so much of art is how we perceive art. Of course, the mind is situated in the brain, which is in the body. And what I really wanted to do with my work is to abstract what we perceive as the body. So in my work, a lot of it, there's very kind of clinically segmented boxes. There's ceramic material inside of them, which allude to the body, but it's presented in a way that isn't necessarily figurative, but rather makes us think about what those processes are within our bodies. A lot of it has water, different types of evaporation and condensation happening. So really just to help the artist, or rather the viewer, think about what's going on inside of me and how am I perceiving this work that I'm seeing.
Wow. You know, I want to remind listeners that the opening reception is tomorrow, Thursday, January 21st, and that's going to be from 5 to 7 at the UMKC Gallery of Fine Arts at 5015 Holmes. But also, in conjunction with this exhibition, you also will have a panel discussion that will take place exploring body-mind connections Thursday, February 11th. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we've put together a panel of speakers to kind of talk about the interdisciplinary nature of our topic. So we've brought our faculty advisor, Dr. Christina Albu, together with neuroscientist Nash Boutros. He is also a UMKC faculty member, neuroscientist. And then we're really excited about bringing artist Neen Humphrey from New York City. So she'll be here in Kansas City for a couple of days, and she will be participating in the panel discussion as well. And this discussion will kind of address how the neural basis of perception, along with cultural affiliations, influences aesthetic experience. And, you know, we kind of want to hear the discussion from the scientific side and the art side and how those fit together and what can be relatable throughout all disciplines.
You know, that just, it really makes a lot of sense. I love that. Is this something that is pretty pretty normal when you pull together exhibitions like this, or did it just sort of take place organically?
Well, it's something we were really interested in when we were conceiving the idea, because we think, you know, as a group, that a lot of strong conversation and connections happen when you put together people of different disciplines. You know, we all have a different viewpoint on it, but they're all valuable and interesting. To see what would happen from this discussion is something we're really interested in, and something we strove for when we were working on the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another graduate student who's part of GAHA, Tara Karim. She's put together a few questions that will invite conversation across all disciplines. So we're really excited to hear what those answers might look like.
And again, that's really not too far off in the future. That, again, is Thursday, February 11th, and that's going to be 6 to 7:30 at the UMKC Gallery of Art, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, this, I find this really intriguing, you know. Was it a challenge for you, Marit?
Was it a challenge? Well, I approach my work as all a big kind of experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, a fun fact, I attended UMKC while at the Kansas City Art Institute every semester doing pre-med classes. So I took a lot of classes in chemistry, biology, physics, things like that. So that interdisciplinary conversation is something that's always taken place in my work. So approaching it from kind of a scientific experimental point of view, you know, if you go into it thinking nothing can go wrong, then you discover things that are really interesting. I think it's that risk-taking that kind of motivates me. It makes it more fun than a challenge.
Is this very different from how you work in your studio?
That's exactly how I work in my studio.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all kind of, trying what works, seeing what works, and, if things don't quite work, then just moving on with those things that do and continuing to build on that.
Well, you know, I'm just going to, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, your host. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I have Ashley Lindemann, Megan Dohan, and Marit Miller here in the studio talking about the Graduate Art History Association group show that opens tomorrow. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You bet. So, you know, when we took a little bit of a break, we wanted to maybe talk about some of the individual artists that are in the show.
Sure. We have several artists who deal specifically with the body, like the physicality of the body and how that relates to the mind. We have one artist, Jamie Bates Sloan, who's an adjunct faculty member at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and she has a lot of... there's a lot of sickness in her family. There's a lot of cancer, and she deals with that in her mind by thinking about it a lot, by worrying, hoping, praying that that doesn't affect her, and that shows up in her art as these beautiful figures who have cancerous cells outside of their body. So we feel like that's one way that the body and mind can connect in a way that wouldn't necessarily be apparent in like a regular situation. Megan, would you like to talk about an artist?
Yeah, another artist we have is a UMKC student at the moment, a master's student, J.J. Allen, who works in almost morphing different, or layering, I should say, different photographic images on top of one another to create a moment that is really compressed in time.
Mm.
So taking really everyday moments that you would maybe take for granted or overlook in compressing them into this one scene really makes you kind of stop and think about time. His work fits into a couple of categories within our concept, but his is really a really strong addition for that. That was really neat.
What is the criteria for the group show, that they had to have perhaps some visual or some sort of connection to the body and mind?
Well, we went out and sought pieces that fit the concept.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes they will be made for the show specifically when criteria may be a little more strict, but we really sought to find artists who were already working in the mode. This is something, you know, mm-hmm. artists think about, mm-hmm. And find pieces that fit in that. Already, it was nice that we were able to get a variety of different types of pieces, mm-hmm. if you will. We have 2D works and 3D works and video works, which just makes for an interesting exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
But criteria-wise, we wanted to make sure that conceptually they were in the frame.
You know, and I recognize some of the names as being local. As part as this undertaking for this fostering this program, the Graduate Art History Program, did you seek more Kansas City natives, people that were local, versus having sort of to make a call out for people outside of the metropolitan area? I mean, it just kind of makes your job easier that way, doesn't it?
It sure does, yes. Yeah. You know, first of all, we do deal with a limited amount of funding, and we are actually very excited to say that we are being partially funded by the Missouri Arts Council.
Oh, great.
So they took interest in our show, and they've really helped us out with some of the big costs associated with putting up an exhibition. But yeah, we even really enjoyed doing studio visits with artists, which is something that we wouldn't have been able to do if they were outside of this area. So we went to multiple places in the downtown area, in the Crossroads. We visited with artists, like, right in their studio where all the paint was just, like, laying around, and it was the best experience, you know, and, like, different artists talk about their work in different ways. So that just helped us understand, you know, the type of art and the type of people that we're dealing with here, and it really put our concept into, like, a different way of thinking about it, because, you know, we could understand it on a personal level as well as on a conceptual level.
You know, this is such a great idea. I think this is real-world practice for, you know, a career, possibly, if that mm-hmm. interests you. Has this kind of turned you off from that, or is it like, oh, yeah?
I think we kind of universally and all unanimously decide that this is something we had an absolute blast doing. Also, CJ Charbonneau, I don't know if we've mentioned her yet, was part of the exhibition. CJ, Tara, Ashley, and myself all had a wonderful time really being able to do all of these real-world things put our academics into practice. And that's something that we're constantly trying to do because, like you said, that does translate into career.
Well, you know, I've curated a few shows myself. It's just, I get the call, hey, Maria, do you know any artists? And poof, you know, something happens. And it's huge. It's a huge undertaking, but, you know, pretty rewarding. And for our listeners that are interested to find out more information about the opening reception or about the panel discussion, the website is umkc.edu/art/umkcgallery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a number, I've got 816-235-1502. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Very
you got
good.
It.
You know, and since Marat's here, I want to ask about a website for you. If people are interested in looking at your work prior to the opening receptions tomorrow.
Certainly. That's maretmiller.com. That's maretmiller.com.
And tell us again the name of the exhibition.
It's Body Mind Entente.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite intriguing. It's really going to be a treat, I think. Tomorrow, 5 to 7 at the UMKC Gallery of Fine Arts. The building is at 5015 Holmes. But I do want to mention, for people who haven't been on the UMKC campus in a while, things are kind of shifted in terms of where the student union is and all that. But I do want to let you know that there's free parking in the Cherry Street Garage, levels 5 and 6. That's important to know because you don't want to get a ticket.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Any final words?
No, thank you so much for having us here. We really enjoyed talking about our show and our experience curating this.
I really appreciate being on the air, and also on the side of an artist, I can say working with these two curators has been really lovely.
That's terrific to know. That's really good to know because sometimes it can be a little dicey working with curators.
Yeah. There's always something that comes up, and, you know, any issues that I've had, Ashley's been really great about accommodating, and likewise with my installation. It wasn't a traditional installation, so I appreciate that.
Now I'm intrigued. Very good.
Learn more at the show.
I was going to say, we just want to say come out and enjoy this exhibition. We've had a pleasure putting it together, and we hope you can enjoy it with us.
Well, congratulations on this exhibition, and we look forward to talking with you soon. Very good. Thank you so much for coming on the air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that wraps up another episode of Art Speak Radio. I want to thank our guests today, Celia Reese, Diane Burkholder, Isaac Tapia, Ashley Lindman, Megan Dohan, and Marette Miller. Now, next week on the program, you know, we're going through January so quickly. It's January 27th. We'll have writer Aaron Barnhart. He used to write for the Kansas City Star. Damon Lee Patterson, an artist Wes Benton. They will be on tap to share their work with you next week on ArtSpeak Radio. And please stay tuned for upcoming programs like Jazz in the Afternoons with Jeff Harshbarger, and I think he's here today. Yay. That's at 1 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock is Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. Then at 6 o'clock, we have the All Soul Forum. Oh, let me turn the page. Then at, 7 o'clock, we've got American Roots. And at 9 o'clock, the Classical Challenge. And that's it for today's programming. Please make sure that you like us on Facebook, ArtSpeak Radio, and stay tuned for Jazz in the Afternoon. Honey, I'm coming home.